Let's go! We ready? Woo! Let's go, baby. Dummies for Sports, here we go. All right, man. Here we go, Meisty. Good to see you, man. I think the...
I'm finishing my popcorn.
No, it's perfect. What do you mean? Everyone watching should get out their popcorn and start.
Yeah, definitely.
And start, sit back and relax. We got football season coming up in 3 days.
Wow.
It's crazy, right? Shit. It's really hard to believe that it's that close.
You're on the West Coast. See, here on the East Coast, it's different. We smell it in the air. It gets a little cooler in the mornings.
Right.
The air smells different. The leaves start to change. But you guys, it's like, it's starting to get a little humid. Maybe it's football season, but
I will correct you there. It gets a lot more humid where you are than where I am, but that's besides the point. But I hear your point anyway. Here it's always nice weather. That's the difference. But also the other thing is it's that LA is not a big football town at all. You're right about that. You're definitely right about that. They like the Lakers still, even though who the heck watches the NBA anymore? But, for some reason, they still like the Lakers. The baseball season's exciting now, obviously, because the Orioles are in there. But there's no question. Listen, 3 days, football season starting. I don't care what the rest of my, my fellow neighbors think. It's exciting. So, end of the day, we're pumped for it. And it really is crazy. When this time of year comes, Meisty, where it's like, just a few days before football season starts, it's always you have a full slate of 18 weeks. It's just... you can't help but salivate over that. It's just like when there's like 2 weeks left of the season, it's like, oh man, only 2 weeks left of the season. Here is just a full 4 months that people will be sitting on their butts for, the entire Sunday.
Yeah. It's beyond that. I mean, you have college football on Saturdays, you have college football on the rest of the weekend. I mean, then beyond that, it's not just 4 months. You have the whole January of playoffs.
Right.
You got February Super Bowl, which leads you right into the madness of March. I mean,
100%. This is when it gets good. This is when it gets good, and baseball season's heating up. So this is when it gets good. Anyway, let's get started, man. We got the NFC West to do, and then we have one more division. So let's do it. NFC West, the 49ers, who are probably the only team that anyone has any confidence in this division, and the 49ers come in at 10.5, Meisty. What do you think about the Niners at 10.5? You going over? You going under?
You have to go over because you have to assume that they're going to get at least 6 wins, maybe I can't say 6, but at least 5 wins out of their division. So you're halfway there. And if they can't find 5 other wins throughout the rest of their schedule, I mean, they should be good. They're a good team in general. So defense should be really tough. Brock Purdy, I'm not a big believer. Last year, I believed in Brock Purdy because of the train that, we were all just on this train of Brock Purdy's doing it. Anyone can do it. But I don't think that is really true anymore. I don't think it's sustainable that, just throw any quarterback in there. It's true. You probably still could throw any quarterback into the 49ers offense. But, there's better options than Brock Purdy. But I'm a doubter, but I still believe they get the over.
Agreed, and I agree with your assessment. I don't think Brock Purdy's all that good. However, he's sort of similar to Kenny Pickett. Their grades, the passing grades, are very similar last year. And Kenny Pickett on a team like the Niners would be good enough to get them 11 wins. At the end of the day, Jimmy G was good enough, where when he was starting, this team won tons of games with him, and he was just very, very average. So all Brock Purdy's got to do is be solid, and he showed sparks on plays that he was under pressure last year, for example, 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. So he certainly showed sparks where you can point to this and be like, no, this guy's got something in him. He can make a couple big plays here and there. He can do enough with all the array of playmakers. We don't have to go through all them right now where he can do some damage. And, it's a good defense too. So you really have playmakers on every level of the defense. They brought in Jarvarius Ward last year. Javon Hargrave this year was a huge signing. They have a good defense. The only one real question mark, I would say, is probably on the offensive line. They lost their best lineman, except for Trent Williams. Their best lineman was Mike McGlinchey. They lost him. So you'll have struggles there. But I just think that when you have playmakers like Ayuk and Debo and McCaffrey, you can get the ball out pretty quickly. Got Kittle over the middle. So at the end of the day, such good playmakers. Even if the offensive line took a step down, everything else is good. I think they're probably just as good as last year, and that should be good enough to get over. So I'm going to agree with you there.
Well, Well, it's not even getting over. It's about the fact that they have to. I mean, here we're talking about over-unders, but for them, they're definitely not enough to win their division. But
yeah, if they don't win the division, that'd be a huge disappointment. So I agree with you. I'm going 100%. They should win this division. Next is the Seahawks at 9. Some sports books had it 9.5. I had 9. I wish we could we do the 9.5 one. I really want to do 9.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's our rules.
I'm changing it over here.
You want on this podcast.
All right, let's do it, man. 9.5. It's an easy one for me for 9.5. 9, I had a little trouble with. So 9.5, okay? So let's look at the Seahawks for a second here. An intriguing team. You know, Geno all of a sudden last year broke out. You know, his guy's been a career backup. We all know the story about Geno last year. But if you take a closer look at Geno's season, Meisty, something that goes a little unnoticed is that he really had 3 or 4 really good games, and the rest of the year was like, Geno that we know and love. You know what I'm saying? The average, below average backup Geno. That's really what it was. So am I banking on him repeating that he really had 3 or 4 games where great? He three games were great in the 90s last year and one game were great in the high 80s. If you take those 4 games out, the Seahawks stink. So the question is, will he repeat that this year? Will he have another 3 or 4 games like that this year? I don't think so, Meisty. I'm not relying on that. That's the problem. They really constructed a good roster around him. You have Tyler Lockett. You have DK Metcalf. They drafted another receiver this year. So at the end of the day, you do have good weapons around him. They have a good receiving core, good weapons for Geno. Even the secondary is good. The pass rush, maybe, you know, they brought in Jermond Jones. Honestly, they have a lot of talent here. I just don't see Geno having those real, real good upside games where he looks like the best quarterback in football for a 3-4 game stretch this year. So with that being said, I'm going under 9.5.
So I agree with you on the Geno Smith. Actually, so I agree with you. Geno Smith's not the guy. That's for sure. I like that at 9.5. I would have called you even. So I'm going to also go under because I like them to have exactly 9 wins here.
Exactly.
And just because of the talent, like you said, it's. I mean, you nailed it. The talent is there to get them 9 wins. They should be able to beat the Rams twice and the Cardinals twice. It's the same thing. Just find 5 wins. And if you can beat the 49ers one game, dude, you're in a huge spot. And in the NFC, to get to the playoffs, you don't need to have 11 wins. You can get in there with 9 wins, 10 wins. So
that's
right
the main
there.
Thing. That's the main thing. The NFC's not good. So, you know, the Seahawks are one of the few teams that have a pretty good overall roster in that conference. So, Granted. But – you still need a you know, serviceable quarterback play. Will you see that from Geno? That's the big question mark. So we'll have to wait and see. So nine, right. So that's where the dilemma starts. Right at 9, now we're thinking, oh, that's a little tough. At 9.5, I don't know if they can get to 10. That's a tough one, man. 10 is a tough one to say.
That is crazy.
So 9.5, we're both going under. The Rams at 6.5. This is a very low over-under for a team that just won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but understandably so, right? I mean, obviously just, you know, a complete downfall last year, whether it was Baker Mayfield, Stafford got injured. You really didn't know who was going to start from week to week. This year, Stafford's healthy. Listen, the Rams are not good. They don't have a good defense. It's tons of question marks there. No improvement on the offensive line. But you have Stafford, you have Kupp, you have Aaron Donald. That you still have, Meisty, right? That's still in place. So what to expect from the Rams? Here's what I think. You still got Van Jefferson. You still got Tyler Higbee. You still got Skowronek. You still have weapons there. So the receiving core certainly is a strength, and Aaron Donald. Outside of that, there's no one proven. No one proven on this team. And because that's the case, I'm still going to go under at 6.5 with the Rams. You don't know if Stafford's going to stay healthy. If he doesn't, who the heck knows who's going to start there at quarterback? Stafford to Cooper Kupp is good enough to win you a few games. So if it was 7.5, I would say for sure under. 6.5, can they get the 7 with Stafford and Cooper Kupp? Sure. I just don't know if Stafford's going to stay healthy. And if he doesn't, I don't think they're good enough outside of that one hookup to win 7 games. So I'm going under 6.5, Meisty.
I'm going to disagree on that. I'm going to go because I think they're going to get to 7. How? I don't know. I don't know. I have to actually turn those teams that haven't gone through their games yet. But I see them getting 7 wins, 2 from the Cardinals. Find a couple more. Every team in that division so far have said they have to just find 5 wins outside their division. And I think that they're capable just because Stafford doesn't even – who is their backup? I wonder who they're going to bring in.
Me neither.
Because whoever their backup is not going to get the ball, let's be honest. So it doesn't matter who their backup officially is.
Well, whoever their backup is, Stafford goes down, they'll win less than 7 games. It's my opinion.
No, but I'm saying whoever – My point is that whoever Stafford's backup is, if Stafford goes down, he's not going to be the starter the following week or the next week after. I don't believe so. I believe they're going to go and they'll go sign someone.
I see. That could be.
Right. So I don't know who they're trying to think out there, like who they're going to call to bring in to finish the season type. But, you know, Stafford, like you said, Stafford stay healthy. Maybe could this year. They don't have a lot of hype around them. Their schedule's a little easier this year. I think they can. I think they can. You know, just passing me right now.
Who's that?
The new father in the fantasy world.
Did he see you? Did he get a glimpse?
No, he's space. He's looking for traffic. I know he has to make sure he doesn't get hit. You know.
Yeah. Well, so, now he's got a little more to live for. You know. So. Right. Right. Okay, let's move on to the last team, the team with the worst projected win total in the league by two games, Meisty. This is the Arizona Cardinals at 4.
Is this the worst win? Is this the worst win total in history? Like, this is crazy.
For a 17-game season? No, 16-game seasons, you had 3.5. You had teams of 3.5. Yeah. But you hit it on the nose, Meisty. So the Cardinals are not good at all. But... Yeah, like 4.5 in this division, in this conference. Okay,
it's 4.5 or 3.5.
4.5 in a 17-game season. Okay. I'm going over, Meisty. And not because I have any confidence in Colt McCoy or Clayton Tune, whoever the heck is going to start a quarterback, but simply because, and Kyler Murray might be out the entire season, right? But simply because, listen, there's enough talent on this team. Hollywood Brown is a solid receiver. They brought in Michael Wilson in the third round. They have Rondale Moore in the slot. Zach Ertz is going to be healthy this year. They have enough talent on the team where you could say, you know, James Conner now in the lineup. So they have enough talent on this team where you could say 5 games, sure, you know. They don't have a good defense. Tons of questions. J.J. Watt retired. It makes it even worse. Right, so it's like they didn't have a good defense before, and now J.J. Watt's not there, and it's even worse. So it's really for the Cardinals. It's really about seeing what you have. It's about testing the water, seeing what you have this year, and hoping you could win a few games. But you know they'll get a high pick in the draft next year. Just you know, 5 wins, sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's very hard to pick a team to go under 4.5, no matter how, even if, unless they're historically bad, which the Cardinals aren't. They were just 2023 bad. So I don't see precedent to go under 4.5. Can they? Might they go under 4.5? Sure, that can happen. One team might win 4 games or less this year. But to predict this one team that's going to happen to do it, I just don't see it likely. So I'm going to go over for 4.5.
I mean, this guy kind of stink. I don't see them anymore in a couple games. They're a struggling team. I mean, they need help, a lot of help. I have them winning 3 games this year, so. And that's about it. I mean, like you said, they just don't have anything. There's not enough pieces there. Hollywood, I don't have to talk about him. You already know.
Yeah, but the question is, I agree with you. The Cardinals are one of the worst rosters in football. But they have one leg up in that they have some decent receivers, and they have another leg up in that they have very low expectations. So you know, the teams that come in with like really low expectations, they generally don't lay a dud and win 2 games. Like, I feel like 5 games is realistic, you know?
Sometimes they do.
Right.
Are they not going to get the – are you telling me that they're not going to end up with the first pick in the draft?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think they will. I think they might end up with the second or third. I think another team that we didn't necessarily know would be this bad will be that bad. That's generally the way I look at things. It's rare that a team going into the year that, you know, people look at that team and they say this team is going to have the worst record in football, actually have the worst record in football. It's generally, you know,
I mean, the
you
Texans,
would not, you would not
I
have
mean,
seen
the
that from
Texans,
the Bears. You would not have seen that from the Bears last year. You definitely would not have. You would have said, no, the Bears are going to take a little step up and maybe win 6 games. We were sitting before the season last year with the 6.5 win total for the Bears, and we were like, maybe the Bears can get there. We both went under. After we went back and forth and sort of hashed out the different sides, but we said they'll get probably 6 wins. Like, they'll be right under. They maybe can even get 7, maybe get over. And they were horrible. They won week 1, and they just lost everything else. So they won 2 out of the first 3 weeks and just lost the rest of the season. So you don't necessarily – it's very hard to predict this is the team that's going to have the worst record in football. That's why I think the Cardinals will get 5 wins.
Okay, but beyond the Bears just now, by the way, we knew the Texans were going to really be the worst team. That happened to be that the – they decided to win the last week of the season.
That was more predictable, albeit. That's true. But my
point, so it's another situation where it's a very predictable situation.
Right.
Like, if Lamar Jackson gets hurt in week 1, Ravens could be that team.
Yeah, but, well, the Ravens won, you know, had a winning record with Tyler Huntley last year, so maybe not. But
Yeah, but they also had a probably a 10
Cupcake
times better
schedule.
defense.
Cupcake schedule also, but yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I agree, man. All right, that'll do it. NFC West in the books. There we go, baby. Football coming up. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
I miss yeah. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth together. Now they're separate. They're both, I like them. I like them both separately, but I like them both together better. So nothing against Mike Tirico. I just, you know, I grew up with that. We both grew up with that. You know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were synonymous with Sunday Night Football, the best game of the week. So it's exciting. But now that they're not together anymore.
It hasn't even been that good of a game in a couple of years. And since Brady Manning's, they haven't been that good.
It's not quite the same. Yeah. Well, there's Allen Mahomes now. So that's the new Brady Manning or Burrow Mahomes, whatever. Insert your replacement for Brady Manning here. Anyway, guys, NFC West in the books. We'll see you guys later. Peace out.
Hasta vista.